Guys, welcome back to Adventure Calls. I'm Jess Drucker, your host, and I'm also the author of How to Move Abroad and Why It's the Best Thing You'll Do. This interview today is a little bit different than the normal episodes that you hear here on Adventure Calls. It's part of the 2021 Global Relocation Conference I'm hosting over on Instagram. These are live interviews taking place over 10 days. I'm talking to relocation specialists who can actually help you move abroad. They can foresee issues that you don't even know are coming. They can help you figure out which visa to apply for, how long the immigration paperwork will take. They can help you figure out what neighborhood to live in, what school to go to, what apartments to buy, how to learn the language, what language schools to go to, and more. Relocation specialists save you time, they save you money, and you can work with them. Is it going to be easy? No. It's hard. It's hard to move abroad. It's hard to live on another part of this planet. But you know what else is hard? Not living on another part of this planet for part of your life, if that's something that you're dreaming about. You gotta pick your hard. Which hard do you want to go through? The hard of not doing something? The hard of not living out your dream? Or the hard of making it happen? With this 2021 Global Relocation Conference, I want to help you make it happen. I'm choosing that hard for you. It's free. It's on Instagram. The interviews take place every morning Eastern Standard Time. Check out my Instagram at Jessica V. Drucker for more information. The link in my bio also takes you to my website, and you can also see all this information in the show notes of this podcast. For now, I hope you enjoy this interview. And remember, if you hear a whisper, that's your call. Follow your call to adventure. You're listening to Adventure Calls. Okay, happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to day 6 of the Adventure Calls 2021 Global Relocation Conference. Today's live is about not only how to move to Spain, but how to live in between two countries. So how to live in between Spain and maybe the US, if that's where you're from. The rest of the week's lineup includes how to move to Portugal, how to avoid issues with your taxes, which we've talked about and we will re-emphasize again, how to move to Antigua, and finally, how to move to Italy, which takes place this Friday. As I wait for a few more people to join this live, I'll just remind you, as always, I'm Jess Drucker. I'm the host of the Adventure Calls podcast. I'm the author of How to Move Abroad and Why It's the Best Thing You'll Do. And I'm also about to launch something that I'm super excited about, so I'll definitely help you out with this. So the Adventure Calls 2022 Global Relocation Guide opens tomorrow for purchase. So over the 2 weeks of this conference, you'll be hearing from these relocation specialists. Well, they're all a part of this guide and more. So each person in these interviews has been giving you these high-level tips about how to move abroad to various countries or sort of expertise in certain areas of life abroad. Inside of this guide are dozens of other relocation experts as well, who not only, like, if you reach out to them, which all the contacts are included in this guide, not only if you reach out to them can they give you tips and advice, but they can also do a lot of the work for you for moving abroad and guide you through the process. They save you time, they save you money, and what I've done is I've reached out and made personal contacts with relocation specialists around the world to save you time just figuring out who are the right people to reach out to. So I'm super excited. I will share more tomorrow as well. And yeah, so I just want to make sure that everybody knows that that's available tomorrow. It'll be available at jessicadrucker.com/shop. And if you want to read more about the guide, it's jessicadrucker.com/guide. So today we are talking to one of these relocation specialists. So she's got a great name. Her name's Jess, Jessica Spari. So obviously we know she's a good person. All Jesses are. So some of you might realize that she's not a man called Danny, who is the founder of Adler and Marlowe. Danny is in Spain with his wife, who's giving birth today. And so just so you guys understand the kind of hustle that's involved in the company that we are talking to, Adler and Marlowe, Danny was insistent that he was going to be on this live unless literally his wife was giving birth today, and she actually is. So Jess has stepped in to do this interview, but actually she is a great person for us to talk talked to at Adler and Marlow about moving to Spain. Not only is she a remote worker who literally works about 70% of the time in Spain and 30% of the time in the US, but she heads up their program, their relocation program, which they're calling RELO, R-E-L-O. And she helps Adler and Marlow to help people relocate to Spain for as digital nomads or for shorter periods of time. So we'll get into that a little bit with Jess here in a moment. Just a little bit about Adler and Marlow generally. This is a company that does, let me read this for you. It's a bespoke travel company that started off curating experiences tailored to each visitor in Spain. So really bespoke travel planning. And then the longer the team spent working with their clients, and because they work so closely with them, they realized that there were some deeper needs that clients had about relocating at least temporarily to Spain. So that's how they launched this program called RELO. So I hope this is super useful for you today. I know a lot of people that I work with are super interested and moving to Spain. There are certain visas that are really attractive to remote workers, and we'll get into all that today. So for now, I'm going to let Jess into the live and
give you guys all a wave. Hi, there she is.
Hey, Jess.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Okay. So Jess, thanks so much for joining. If you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about yourself to start, and Adler and Marlow also. I tried to do a good job explaining it, but I think you're going to do a better job.
You did a great job. But I'm happy to say a little bit more about myself and what we do at Adler and Marlow, as well as at RELO. So I'm here in New Jersey at the moment. I'm from nearby in Philly. And as you said, I split my time between two countries. To help you understand how I got to that point, I studied Spanish in college when I was living in Philly. And my very Italian last name, Gaspari, comes from my ancestors who were from Italy. So I always had this interest and passion for getting to know a little bit more about Europe. I chose Spain over Italy because I just thought increasing my Spanish language skills would maybe be a little bit more helpful if I was going to continue working in the U.S. than it would be for me to learn Italian. So that was really my big draw. Knew nothing about Spain when I got there, had never been there. But I had researched how I could potentially move abroad and signed up for a course to become an English teacher and do a 4-week program in Barcelona. So kind of hit the ground there running and immediately fell in love with everything Spain, and especially Barcelona. If anybody on this call has been there, I think it's really easy to understand how you can become enchanted by such a beautiful city. So I've been living in Spain now for 8 years. After I did my teaching course and started working as a teacher, I wanted to find a more permanent way to live in the country. So I actually was fortunate enough to find a way to receive Italian citizenship through my ancestors.
Lucky. That's great.
Yeah. So lucky that I had the opportunity. Also a very long and rigorous process, took a very long time, but it worked out really well in the end. And so I've been back for about 8 years now and met our CEO and founder, Danny, through a friend of a friend. I had decided that teaching was not giving me the flexibility that I needed to travel as much as I wanted to and also be confined to a classroom. So it was time to switch things up. So I started doing some online classes and went freelance and was doing some editing and translation work and was connected to Danny through a friend, a mutual friend, because Danny was looking for some support at Adler and Marlow. And we kind of hit things off and have been working together ever since for the past 3 years.
Awesome. Okay, got it. Yeah, so you've been in Spain 8 years. And, you know, even though you have Italian citizenship, lucky, I mean, I know it's a lot of work, but it's also dreamy for those of
us who can't
get that kind of a visa. Mm-hmm. But I will say, and I've said this a lot of times throughout this conference so far, and I will always say it, the visa that you come in on is not the visa that you live on. So a lot of people might come and teach English and get a visa that way. And a few years later, they're not going to be on that same English teaching visa either. So whether or not you can go back in your, you know, family history and get that European visa situation, European residency, really, honestly, however, if you want to move to Spain and you can get there as an English teacher and that's how you can stay at first, that's a great option. And then you can figure it out from there. One question I want to ask you is, of all the other sort of foreigners that you know, and maybe specifically Americans, how are they staying there? So like, what are some of the common visas that people do get to live in Spain, those of us without European ancestry?
Yeah. Well, you made a really good point. And that is, no matter which visa you get, it's much harder to get your foot in the door the first time. So the first process is actually can be quite tedious, but totally worth it. And then once you've made it into the country on any kind of visa, they're usually good for about a year, depending on the type of visa that you have. But that's kind of the standard. And then once you've passed that year mark, it's much easier to renew it until you get to the 3-year mark. And at the 3-year mark is where things change and you can become more of a permanent resident in Spain without having to do so much work to be there. So there are lots of options available in Spain right now. I've highlighted a couple that I think would be particularly interesting for our audience today. And one of them, the first one is a self-employment visa. So this is for people who already have an established business through their own freelance company or through their own individual clients. This is a really cool option for people who have been working in their profession for a little while and have also saved enough money to be able to cover their expenses for about a year. What's cool about it is you can present a business idea as part of the visa process. And you know, if you're already doing that for your business, a lot of that work is already done for you. So that's one option to consider. It's a lot of paperwork, but if you feel like you're established enough to pull it off, it's a good one to get your foot in the door.
And what's that visa called? What's the name of it?
The self-employment visa.
Okay, self-employment visa. Fine, great.
Yeah. So that's one option. Another one, and this can be a bit complicated, but it's also a very cool idea, is to get into Spain on a non-lucrative visa.
Okay.
So
there's a lot of whispers on the internet about non-lucrative visa. So let's get into that a little bit.
Yeah. So the non-lucrative visa is essentially for people who do not expect to have an income while they're in Spain for a year. So it's kind of like an extended tourist visa. So as an American, we can be in Spain for 3 months without working. We can be there on vacation. And this extends that period for a full year. So you can actually live there legally. The issue is, if you haven't saved enough money to live there for a year, then this could be complicated. But it's a cool way, you know, if you're planning on starting a business or you just want to take some time off and do traveling, it's a really nice way to get to know Spain, to maybe invest some time in doing your own online courses or developing other things that are not making you money at the moment, but could make you some money in the future.
So let me ask you something. Is this about earning money in Spain? So like, can I take my business? Because I do earn money, but I don't earn money in Spain. Can I work on my business but live in Spain under this visa? Or is this really primarily like a sabbatical and retiree visa? Because that's what the main confusion is between that and the self-employment visa, I think.
It's more like a sabbatical. So you can be working on your business, but you are not really allowed to be earning any money through your business while you are living in Spain for that year. And you also have to.
And how much money do you have to have? When you say save up enough for a year, how much money do you have to have saved up? Do you know a dollar amount?
Yeah, it's around, this is not true for everyone, but you should estimate around 26,000 euros to be able to live there for a year on the non-lucrative visa. So we know that, go ahead, tell me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I have a lot of thoughts about this, but I want you to talk. But I think one thing that is cool for the non-lucrative visa for people with kids is that kids can actually attend public school while on that visa, which is really cool because otherwise it's hard to bring your family. And I think that's why there's a lot of interest in this visa for people with kids, mm-hmm. because I think as far as I know, the kids can attend school while there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big concern there is just the income that you're making. So if you're not bringing money in, then there are ways to really make this work. But of course, that's not ideal for everyone. That's a kind of a tough situation to put yourself in if you do have a business that's already generating income or you do have a full-time job that you're not ready to leave. So yeah, it's an interesting one. There's always a lot of gray area there. But what's really exciting right now is that Spain is developing a new type of visa for digital nomads.
Okay.
Yeah. So Danny and I are both really excited about this and the potential that it carries for people who want to live in Spain and do work that they're already doing. So it's not official yet. It's not finalized. And so we don't have all of the information. But what I can tell you is that it's going to be for foreign workers who work for non-Spanish companies or also people who may have their own business set up as long as they're making less than 20% of their income from Spanish companies.
Oh, okay.
Which is great. So we're waiting to see what's going to happen there, but it's going to be a really good alternative as far as I can tell from the self-employment visa that requires lots and lots of paperwork and also the non-lucrative visa, which of course limits your ability to make money while you're there in Spain.
Yeah, and because the non-lucrative has always felt like a bit of a loophole, like can it be really true? And I think more and more countries are going to start having digital nomad visas, since we all know we can work remote now, and so many people are working remotely for their companies. So it mm-hmm. makes a lot of sense. And that means that you can either keep your U.S. job and mm-hmm. live there. Is that part of what the digital, how a digital nomad is being defined by this?
Exactly. Visa? Mm-hmm. Okay. And what they're estimating from what we've read so far and what we're expecting, you will be paying taxes to Spain, but you'll be paying a much smaller percentage than what you could potentially pay on other types of visas. So it would be around 15% tax, which you should then be able to claim as a foreign tax credit to your home country where your employer is located.
Right. We just had our tax expert come on last week and talk about this confusing topic, yeah. and also on Wednesday as well. So we are covering taxes twice during this yeah. conference, because that's a very confusing part. Okay. And so that's great. Do you know, I mean, you came in and you taught English. So do people really come on English teaching visas in Spain? My understanding, and I really thought about moving to Spain for a long time, and personally as well, is that the income isn't great. So like you might get a job teaching English, but like you're pretty limited with your lifestyle based on it's like 8 or 9 euros an hour. Am I lying about that? It's pretty low.
It's pretty low. Nowadays, it's a bit more than that. So when I first started teaching back in 2007, it was a very different world in terms of the teaching world in Spain, where honestly, there were a lot of Americans who were just kind of floating under the radar, who hadn't actually applied for visas and were just working under the table. That is definitely not the situation in Spain today. You do need proper working papers to get a job there and live there comfortably. And you're totally right. Salaries in Spain in general are really quite low. But I think that's one of the reasons why it's so appealing to people who are earning a salary either from their own business or from a company that's US-based or based in another country. Because being able to have that salary and live in Spain can be a very comfortable lifestyle. Things are generally not expensive if you have a US salary, for example. Whereas working with a Spanish salary can be quite limiting, especially for rent, which is really expensive right now in Barcelona and Madrid, especially.
Right. So you're basically saying you can live the best of both worlds. I mean, I'm not trying to oversell Spain here. No, but it's true, because I mean, I think people have that lifestyle in Latin America, for example, mm-hmm. or maybe in Thailand. But what you get when you live in Spain, and I'm not trying to do an ad for Spain, but like what you get is European levels of quality. I understand Spain is not like Germany or Denmark in terms of like building or whatever, but like you get European lifestyle. You know, there are things about Latin America that are great, but it can be pretty hard living. But you also mm-hmm. get Spanish language, which a lot of people speak or want to speak. So it really kind of is the best of both worlds. And it is cheaper to live there than some of the other countries in Europe, right?
Absolutely. And you get so much in Spain. I mean, it's the weather. The cities are it's so easy to travel around Spain in general. And the food is amazing and the weather is amazing. I mean, there's so many benefits to living there. It's also such a safe country. So you can feel really safe no matter which part of the country that you're in. So yeah, maybe it doesn't have all of the benefits of working in a country that is maybe more developed, and especially in terms of welcoming digital nomads. I think we're a bit behind, but we're getting there. But there are so many other benefits to living in the country in general. So yeah, you hit the nail on the head there.
So what I like about what you just said is that you just floated in between calling it there, because right now you're New Jersey, yeah. but you also make it about we and us, because you feel like you live in Spain. Can we talk a little bit about your lifestyle specifically? So you get to like float in between these two places. How are you making this happen for yourself? And how can people do this too?
It's interesting. So my story started this way because I met my husband. We used to work together in the same company in the States. And we reconnected a few years after I had moved back to Spain and started dating long distance. And so our whole relationship has been long distance. He's been here in New Jersey and I've been there in Barcelona. And we've just been really lucky in terms of both of us having some flexibility with our jobs. So I'm so thankful that I made the change to be freelance and that I met Danny and that we've done so many great things with Adler and Marlowe and now with Rello, because I can really do it from anywhere. So mm-hmm. whether it's Spain or another country, going into digital nomad lifestyle is amazing in this way. So it's been 4 years now that I've been going back and forth. And you know, for me, I think it can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming moving around so much. But what I found to be really helpful is just establishing a routine and making sure I stick to it no matter where I am. And it helps.
Great advice.
Yeah, it really helps me ground myself and make sure that I'm checking the boxes in terms of taking care of myself and making sure I really feel like me, like I'm doing the right things for myself, no matter where I am. So I would offer that advice to anybody who's thinking about traveling abroad, even if it's just for the short term, because it's just really helpful.
Yeah. Or even if you give up your whole life in the US and you have made the jump to live permanently somewhere else, you don't just like automatically become another person. And that's advice I always give too. It's like, figure out what your morning routine is going to be, or, you know, and do that routine no matter where you are. As soon as you move, it might be like, oh, I'm going to sleep in, or, oh, I'm going to do this. Don't, like, get into a routine right away and make sure it's the one focused on you. And like, because it's a lot of stress to go back and forth, to live in different places, to adjust to a new life. So I love that advice. I think that's amazing advice.
Yeah. And it's a great way, you know, to also make sure that you have the time that you need in your day to focus on other things. Because if I know that I've already done my exercise and I've stretched and I've meditated and done all the things that for me personally, I know I need to function as a human being in the best way possible, then that opens me up to being ready to meet more people and make space in my life to go out and try new things with the same confidence that I would have here in the States or in whatever country I would feel comfortable in. So it's really a great way to get yourself going and make sure that you feel connected, like I said, with yourself and what you need for yourself, yeah, while giving yourself the space to really fully live in the new place that you're in.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I have a couple of questions. And then I also want to talk about Relo and the work that you guys do. So you speak Spanish. Mm-hmm. Do you have to speak Spanish to move to Spain? Could you get by without learning Spanish? I 100% believe everyone should learn as soon as they get there. But like, say I'm going to move to Spain, do I have to speak Spanish?
Not really. No.
In Barcelona, Madrid?
In Barcelona, Madrid, no. And in most of the bigger cities, I would say you can definitely get by without speaking Spanish. Pretty much anywhere you go out, people are going to be speaking English. For example, when I moved to Spain for the first time in 2007, the level of English was still pretty low. But it's changed a lot in the last 10 years or so. And kids are learning it earlier and earlier in school. You know, there's also this increase in tourism in Spain where that's kind of forcing people to get better at English. So really, you would be fine. The issue comes up when you're filing paperwork or you're going to an official office where, even if you can speak in English, you really want somebody there, or you want to develop language skills to really understand what's happening in that conversation. Because I can tell you from personal experience, the way that things are done don't always necessarily make sense, but it's the way that they're done.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where I think it's really useful to have somebody there to help you, whether it's a lawyer or a relocation specialist, someone who can guide you through that process. But absolutely, you can live there without speaking Spanish. Yeah.
Yeah. Although you should definitely learn, and this is not an advertisement to get by on English, but no, but that's good to know, because I would hate for someone to get held back by the idea, well, if until I'm fluent, I can't move or something. It's like, move. And then you'll definitely get more fluent when you live there too. Cause when somebody's yelling at you in Spanish on a bus, you're going to need to figure it out faster. You're going to learn it a little bit faster probably, right?
Exactly. I totally agree. And there are so many options for different types of classes. And we offer options for classes as well through Relo to help you get on your feet and learn the basics, because it's useful. And yeah, it's a great thing to learn. I mean, it trains your brain in a different way. And it's a skill you're going to carry with yourself forever, no matter what you're doing. So we highly recommend it. But yeah, it's not totally necessary. Just get there first.
Just get there. Make the leap and then like make it happen. Okay, so let's talk about Relo because you brought it up. And I definitely want to get there. So what is the work that Relo does? And how is that related to Adler and Marlow? Mm-hmm.
So I'll actually start with Adler and Marlow and a little bit more about what we do there so you can understand where Relo has come about. So with Adler and Marlow, as you mentioned before, we put together luxury bespoke packages for mostly American clients. So it's typically couples or small families who want to travel through Spain, Portugal, and Morocco. So we do offer tours and experiences in all three countries. And what I love about what we do at Adler and Marlow is, you know, compared to maybe some other tour companies or the things that you might find when you're researching yourself, I really believe that all of our experiences really tell the story of the place that you're visiting. And whether that's the whole country, just the region, or just the city, I really think that you get a different insight into the type of people that live there, what's important to those people, and what their cultural nuances are, because there are many throughout Spain, especially.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
How complicated that is, right? Yeah,
exactly. So we focus on those packages, absolutely love setting those up for our clients. And so we have a lot of experience working with clients directly to put together a package that's really perfect for them. And so from that experience, and based on the trend that we've seen in the last year and a half with COVID, We recognize that a lot of people are really interested in extending the time that they're traveling and potentially working from other countries as well, because it's, you know, it's still a bit of a headache to think about the restrictions and the testing that you need. And it's getting better, but I think it's changed people's mindset in terms of what they're willing to do and the types of travel experiences they want. So we thought, how could we do something with this that would be a really cool way to help people get abroad and make it easier for them? So this is where Relo has come about. And
right.
So what we're doing is helping people to find the legal support that they need to make sure if they need a visa, they're going to have the guidance and support they need to get the one that's right for them. And if they're coming for a shorter period of time, just making sure that all of their ducks are in a row and that we're positive that they're not going to have any tax implications and that they can do this shorter trip without any issue. Yeah, I'm sure you know how complicated that can be.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the first piece of it. The second piece is kind of building your new home for you. So part of that's going to be finding you accommodation, whether that's your own personal apartment or potentially living in a really cool co-living space, which is becoming more and more popular, which we love. It's such a cool way to meet new people and right. Just get to know people that you would never have met otherwise.
Totally.
So we set all of that up. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, it's kind of like a co-living space. I mean, I don't know if that works for family, but it's like a built-in community already. And it can be hard when you move abroad to like find community right away. And if you're only going to be there for 3 or 4 months or maybe 3 or 4 weeks, it's nice to know people right away.
Exactly. And this is always one of my pieces of advice for anybody who's moving abroad anyway, is you kind of have to cast a wide net to find your people. You know, you're going to meet, it's really easy to meet people in the bigger cities in Spain and even in the smaller ones, but they're not necessarily going to be your people. So the more people you meet and the more activities you expose yourself to, the quicker you're going to find the people that really are the ones that you connect with. And living in a co-living space is such a great way to do that.
Well, the other thing about Adler and Marlo is you guys have probably spent all this time, when you do bespoke experiences, you get to know your vendors really, really well. And mm-hmm. I would imagine that with Relo, like how that transfers is you know, you have such great and like deep connections with your vendors, I would assume. And that helps you then help people relocate, you know, and not that everyone's going to like go on a tour when they're moving abroad, but I would imagine that the strength that you have with the community there is a lot stronger because of your bespoke experiences, right?
Absolutely. We really look at a lot of our vendors and partners as more like family and friends than we do business partners, because we have worked with them so closely.
Right.
And yeah, we love that. And that's actually a really interesting part of what we offer at Relo as well. So in addition to kind of checking the boxes of what you need a legal team, you need a place to live, you might need a co-working space, you might need a gym, you might need language classes. We put together that whole package for you. But in addition, we offer what we call a cultural orientation, which is kind of like your own buddy, your own friend with one of our amazing local tour guides who's going to walk you through the ins and outs of where you're living. So maybe going to the market to buy fish is really intimidating and we have a specific way of doing it. They're going to show you what that looks like. Or, you know, understanding that people in Spain do not make lines the way that people in the US make them. And you have to ask who the last person is. So it's these little things that are going to help you just become more assimilated quickly and find the lay of the land in a really fun way with somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, that is so important, though. I mean, you can, you know, you can muscle through that yourself and learn all of these intercultural things. And we have, right? And it's fine. But like you can also when someone teaches you those just little things, it helps you integrate so much easier. That's a really awesome part of your relocation package that you offer.
Definitely. And especially going back to what you said earlier, you know, if you don't necessarily speak Spanish, it might take a lot longer to figure that out. And so let us save you the time and the energy and just give you a couple of quick tricks to get you through at least the first few weeks, the first few months, and help you feel really comfortable in your new home.
Yeah, totally. So we did have a question. And if you guys have questions, we have just a few minutes left of our conversation, unfortunately. So go ahead and ask them in the chat or in the question box. But one of the questions was, does Relo only handle Spain? Or are you guys also doing relocations in Portugal and Morocco?
Right now, we're just focusing on Spain, but we would absolutely love to do the same in Portugal and Morocco in the future. So we'll keep you posted.
Right. So stay tuned.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. So tomorrow, actually, we are interviewing Carmo from Ares, which is a relocation company that handles 7 or 8 European countries. And works specifically for Portugal. So if you guys are interested in Portugal, that's tomorrow. So we'll sign on then to listen to that one. But no, really fascinating. And just to be clear, like, what are some of the services that you, I mean, you or just relocation companies in general, like, what are the services that you provide? You talked about language, finding apartments, tax implications, this cultural immersion part of your program. Is there anything else that we haven't covered? Because I think it's so helpful to have a big picture understanding of what is provided.
Mm-hmm. It really depends on the person. So there's also the addition of maybe joining a gym or having some help finding different groups where you can exercise or find special interests and things like that. And that really is going to depend on each person individually and what they want to do. But I'd say that Danny and I are such great resources for any kind of interest that you have, especially in Spain. And I'm sure this will be true for other relocation agencies where we've just lived there for so long and we have such an eclectic group of friends and contacts there in the country that, you know, whether it's particular Facebook groups or that makes me sound so old because I know nobody uses Facebook anymore.
No. I talk about those too. Yeah. Because Facebook groups, though, they're like the only place where these groups exist. So it's fine. I also, it's true. I recommend
it. It's such a wonderful resource. I mean, you can find female expats in Barcelona who are interested in writing. You know, you can find exactly what you're looking for. And we can help you find some of that. But I think also you just have to rely on what you know you love and how you think you connect with other people. And it's pretty easy to search for and find other people who like the same things. But of course, we're here to help you through that process.
Yeah, no, totally. And it's true. I mean, nowadays, like that you can search everything online. I mean, you have to kind of know the words in Spanish, I guess, too. But I mean, if you're whatever you're into, if it's CrossFit, if it's HIIT workouts, if you're a vegan, I mean, you can find community. So that's really helpful. I had a couple of questions here I wanted to get to before we lose you in just about a minute. Did your husband go through the process of getting Italian citizenship yet? And was that hard for him to do?
He has not done it yet. So I have two stepkids. We have two kids here in New Jersey. And so he's actually hanging out here in New Jersey for a couple more years before he moves over with me on a more permanent basis. So no, we haven't broached that topic yet. But I don't think that it's that complicated of a process. I can tell you, though, from my own personal dealings with just renewing my passport in Italy, that it's not a very easy thing to figure out on your own. If we do it, when we do it, I will absolutely hire someone to help us with that process, especially to speed things up. So I would probably recommend that for everyone else as well.
Yeah. And that's like that's an immigration specialist. That's someone who is like trained on that part of the process. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Okay. So we have one last question and then we have to sign off. We're looking to move to Spain. My wife is waiting on her Italian heritage citizenship. So that's a great question, though. So they want to leave in September 2022. When should they start planning?
So I would say the sooner the better, because it's just going to give you more options in terms of finding the right relocation specialist or, you know, doing a bit more research in terms of which part of Spain you want to move to. But generally, you're going to need at least 90 days before you move to Spain in terms of visa requirements at a minimum. I would recommend, because it also depends on the consulate from where you're applying within the state. Some are slower than others. So 90 days is a good place to start. And if I can offer one additional piece of advice around documentation in Spain, anybody who's coming to move to Spain is going to need something called a NIE, N-I-E. It's a number that you need for identification and tax purposes. It is a bit of an issue trying to get an appointment sometimes in Spain because they're just really overwhelmed. If there's any way you can get an appointment at a consulate here in the States that's close to your home, I highly, highly recommend making an appointment and getting that number before you get to Spain, because it will save you a lot of time once you get there.
Ooh, so if that's at all that's possible. Really good. And does it expire, this NIE, NIE that you need, does it expire? So do I have to time it so that like I can still do it when I get there if it takes me longer to get there? Or do you know how that works? Can you get the number and then use it whenever you arrive?
So you get the number and it's your number for life. The way it works is the initial NIE that you get is usually good for 3 months, or your first 3 months in Spain. And then you've got to change it to the more permanent NIE, which means making an appointment just to say, you know, I'm still here. This is what's going on. Maybe you need to update your address, for example, and then it's yours for life. My husband, for example, got the temporary 3 month NIE, but it's always going to be his NIE number. And when we're ready to make him a resident there, he'll use the same exact number. But the issue is in Spain, sometimes if you don't have a work contract yet, you can't finish the process for the NIE. And if you don't have the NIE, you can't sign your work contract. So this is the loop that you get stuck in, which is why I suggest getting it before if possible.
Awesome. Yes, because, and we're going to sign off now, I swear, but like, honestly, these catch 22s are what trip people up in every country. Every country has, you can't do this until you do this, but you can't do this until you do this.
Exactly.
And somehow it doesn't work and nobody has perfected the loop. So anytime you can avoid that. So that's awesome advice, because that's where people really do kind of start to lose their minds with the process. So thank you so much for that advice. I really, really will. I'll make sure to include that for sure in the show notes, and we'll definitely keep that as a top tip of this conference, because that's what we're always looking for. So thank you so much. Okay, so where can people find you, and where can they find Adler Marlowe and Rello and all that information that you shared with us today?
You can contact us on our website, which is adlermarlowe.com, or here on Instagram. We're always on Get Back to You in Just a Few Minutes, which is Adler Marlowe Travel, and we'd be happy to be in touch.
Awesome. Okay. And of course, I'll include that in the show notes for this as well.
Thank you
so much. This was super helpful. And yeah, I hope that, you know, from here, we get people who get to move to Spain. So thank you so much.
Me too. Thank you so much for including us.
Of course.